It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Yeah, we definitely had a bitter taste in our mouth. The whole summer, I think guys felt like we had some unfinished business, and we wanted to kind of redeem ourselves with the way that things ended. Most of the guys were back. We felt that year against Philly that we had a really good team to carry on in the playoffs and do some damage. So it was really disappointing to, first of all, to have such a lead and let it slip by. But I think we've learned from it. I think it made us stronger, but also made us understand a valuable lesson for the next playoff run. So I think that's kind of how we started approaching that season. Was obviously you don't want to get carried away and think about playoffs, but I remember having a meeting with Z and a few other guys. I think if I'm not mistaken, I think Peter Chiarelli was there and Chloe, and we were kind of going over a few things. And that's something that came out of that meeting, is I think I really do believe that we have a team to win the Stanley Cup. And that's I think that was in September, that meeting. So, it was definitely in the back of our mind. I think we had a lot of confidence in our team, even though we had that happen to us the year before. I think we all had a chip on our shoulders. You could tell the guys were excited to be back, but also on a mission, even though we had a lot of, things to do, to accomplish before getting there. I thought the morale and the energy was really good from the get-go.
Ray, it was a unique way to start the season as well. You guys went overseas, right? You went over to play in Prague. But prior to Prague, you also had Ireland. Like I said, a unique way, but you guys kind of, when players talk about going on a road trip early in the season, how they kind of bond a little bit and kind of put some of the distractions aside, that was a long trip. And, you guys spent a lot of time together. How did you come out of that trip and continue to feel that you guys could win?
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of the things that that helped us that year, the bonding that we got early on in Belfast and then in Czech Republic and in Prague as well. I think it's something that's so important. We say that too many times. I think it becomes cliche, but it's true. Like the more you're able to gel and to bond and to get to know the players off the ice, the better it is for the the connectedness and the team unity on the ice. And I think we saw that over there overseas. You're with your teammates every day for, I think it was a little over 2 week trip, so it's we were there for a while and we had a blast. It was nice to see the new countries and Sean Thornton had family members in Belfast. It was unique. It was neat to get to know history of Ireland and Prague. And, we had Krejci that was from there. Z had some family members that kind of made the drive. So it was just great, cool. You could, get to know some of the new guys as well. All that put together was definitely a nice way to start the year. And I truly still believe, and I had that discussion with a few guys, it's something that was, I think was beneficial for us that year, for sure.
All right, Bergie, let's sort of fast forward. So the team has a good regular season coming off
what you mentioned, the stage was essentially set from that trip through Europe. You play the first round against the team's biggest rival, the Montreal Canadiens. You're down 0-2 after losing the first two games at home. Sort of take us inside, if you can, what was happening at that point and what the feeling was inside the room and around the team.
Yeah. I think it wasn't like – the feeling was definitely tough, I think, what surrounded the team, you know, the media attention and the fans and all of that stuff made it a little heavy for us to deal with. I think the way that Claude and Peter and the rest of the coaches handled that by, you know, once we lost the first two games. So we're down two heading to Montreal. It's not like we're coming back home. Like we're going down there. It's not easy to play there. The fans are always loud and it's a great building to play, but it's also a challenge to win in Montreal in the playoffs. And we went to Lake Placid instead of going straight to Montreal. And I think that was our reboot, I guess, or recharge, or reset, if you want to put it that way. I remember the demeanor of the older guys, Recky and Ferentz. I went for lunch with them before game three in Lake Placid. And they're like, you know what? I'm not ready for the summer to start. It's way too early. The weather's awful. Like I have nothing planned. Like I could tell like Rex was just like, yeah, I'm not expecting to. Why are we even talking about summer right now? Like we're fine. And it was just like a cool chat that we had, and we're all kind of agreeing that, you know, we want to continue the season. It's been a fun season. We're having a blast. We've had some ups and downs during the year. This is just one of them. And now it's time to roll up our sleeves and come together and not listen to the noise or the outside noise that was definitely there. But I think it kind of was a cool moment. And then obviously, you know, we all know what happened after that. And it wasn't an easy series. It's not like we came back and won four in a row. Like we came back in the series, tied it up 2-2, which was a tough feat in itself. And then it was kind of up and down, and we ultimately got game seven in overtime. So it was a hard fought series. And I think that's a lot of people have said that in the past. I think even Martin Brodeur was saying that the first round is always the toughest. You know, every time you get out of the first round, then it seems like it gets easier. Not easier, but you get into a rhythm and things are and your team kind of gels even better. So I agree with that. I think the first round is always a bit of a battle. Then you get going.
And then your next round ended up being against the Flyers, you know, the team that had beaten you the year before. You guys sweep them. Just kind of the mindset going into that series, was it – I don't know if revenge is the right word, but it was a like a little chip on your shoulder, as you said earlier, going into that series against the Flyers.
100%. I think that was the case. You could tell the guys were ready. Didn't even want to let one slip by. You know, I think we learned our lesson the hard way, like I said earlier, and you know, this time around we were ready. You know, I think game. I don't know. I think it was game two over there. They had a strong start and I think they scored two really quick goals and we came back in that game and won. I think we showed a lot of character, even though it was a four game series, to win those games. You know, they gave us a push and we just kept, I guess, pushing back and ultimately, you know, getting the best of them. So it's, you know, I think, we were definitely thinking about when we were up by three, that the fourth game we weren't going to even, you know, give him life or give him time to get back in the series. And that was definitely a little redemption for us that time.
The next round you play the Tampa Bay Lightning, Berge. That series goes seven. Now, if you sort of backtrack to the Montreal series, that series ended in seven. It ended in overtime. The guy who ended that series, obviously Nathan Horton. He was also the guy who ends the series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Did you have that sense of him being a player who could rise to the occasion from the moment that he joined the Bruins?
Yeah, I did. I think, you know, Horty was, I just loved the energy that he was bringing. You know, I think he, you could tell he wanted to win. He wanted to be on a successful team. You know, he's had some great years in Florida, but wanted to be in the playoffs and go for a long run. And yeah, I think I saw that in him from the beginning. I think the chemistry they had with Krejci and Luch was obviously amazing and so tough to play against with those two power forwards on both sides and Krejci, you know, making the slick plays. And yeah, I think Horty definitely had that in him. And I was not surprised that he rose to the occasion both times.
So I was going to go in the direction of your longtime line mate and Marshy. You know, that was his kind of, I mean, the 2011 was first year for him, right?
Yeah.
And he started, you know, on a fourth line, worked his way up, you know, had to prove himself. And you guys have been inseparable, you know, since then. It seems like whether it's on the world stage or with the Bruins. Just did you see that in him that year? Did you know that he would become the player that he is right now? And I'm not talking about the other side. I'm talking about just the player himself and, mm-hmm. and how important he is and how good he is.
Yeah, I think I did. I saw him even from the previous training camps. You know, I could see the talent. I could see the, you know, the determination, him wanting that puck and taking what was his. You know, you could tell that, you know, even in rookie camp or some of the earlier skates, whether it was captain's practice or whatnot, he wanted it. You know what I mean? Like he was putting the extra work. He was any drill, if he was going up against whoever it was, it didn't matter. He was going to hit you. He was going to try to get the puck away from you. He was going to try to score. He was trying, you know, he was going, it was just not nonstop working. And I think he developed into the player that he is because of that drive, because of that determination and because of that will. And I saw that in him from day one. And that year where, because the year before he was up with us for a while, but he didn't play much or he played a little bit. It didn't always go his way. And you could tell that in 2011, he was ready. Like he was like, I am not letting this chance go. And he started with, like you said, on the fourth line with Campbell and Sean Thornton. And that line was dynamite early on. Like they were good and they were scoring and Marshy was playing well and playing some PK time as well. And he worked his way up and kudos to him for doing that, you know, that whole year, always, you know, I guess earning his ice time and scoring over 20 goals. And then in the playoffs, I think it was over 10 goals, if I'm not mistaken, close to that, or I don't know exactly, but could be more, but he was, you know, like I said, he had that in him where he wanted to win and at all costs and be a factor.
On the other side of that line, Berge, you had a guy who was 20 years older than Marshy in Mark Recchi. What did he bring to your line? And what in some ways did he bring to the team that helped raise its level?
Yeah, I think he, he brought that experience. He brought that calming factor, if you will, that, you know, because of that experience, but also just because of his presence and his demeanor. So personally, he came in 2 years prior to that. We lost against Carolina, but that year was the year that I was coming back from my injuries. And, you know, it was kind of an up and down year. And he helped me tremendously to get back on track the year after 2010, because of him and, you know, the other players that I've played with, obviously, but he was a big factor helping me to making the Team Canada for the Olympics. And then the year in 2011, you could tell that, you know, he wanted more. He wanted more for our team and he believed in us. And just that trust was making us want to accomplish something for him. And I think it gave us the life and I guess the energy that we needed, you know, throughout that whole season, but also even more so in the playoffs where, you know, it could have been his last and there was talk about it and you don't want to let it slip by. You know, you don't want to be the guys letting him down. So with everything that he's done for us. So he had a huge impact on us as a team, but also on myself personally as a player.
Berge, not only as a player, but Rex actually talked to us a little bit about it, how he tried to get you to become more of a vocal leader, more vocal in the locker room. Just how did that evolve with him and up until now?
Yeah, I think, you know, to go back on that, I think he's, you know, we had a few, went for lunch, a few meetings, me and him, or whether that was organic or meant to be, you know, he was just trying to guide me through some of the experience and things that he's been through in his career, but also for myself, I think he was seeing something in me that that was there, but needed a little, like you said, a little push to be a little bit more vocal. And I think personally for me, it was at times what was taking me back was, you know, the language barrier at times. I was always kind of a bit, you know, shy and didn't want to speak. I've always had a tough time with public speaking. So it was always kind of tough to speak in front of guys and making sure my ideas or what I was trying to get to made sense, you know. And I think he helped me that way, meaning that he's like, guys, you know, they trust you. They listen and you know, we're your teammates, so we obviously will respect whatever you say and not judge you on your grammar or on the way that you make up your sentences and all that. It's more the message that matters and speak from your heart. So it was huge that way. Helped me a lot, and obviously for me, it was just trying to learn. It was just more experience trying to, you know, get better as a leader and taking a next step, and he helped me push me that way to do it. And obviously now it just keeps improving. I think I'm a lot more comfortable, and I'm comfortable now. I'm just comfortable now taking that position.
Berge, can I zero in on a specific moment since you're talking about that and Rex brought it up, because I think it was against the Blue Jackets. I don't remember if it was in Columbus and it was after a game and the team came in and I think he had said to you, and, you know, please, you know, go back and try and, you know, remember it as best as you can. He said, this is your team. This is the time. They need to hear from you.
Yeah. So it was in Columbus, actually. And basically, he said, "This, you got to talk to the guys. Like, it's your time. And guys will listen to you if you just... whatever you say, you know." And he didn't tell me what to say. He just kind of said, "You got to talk to the guys." And that was actually before the game. So that was, we had a tough stretch before Columbus. It was a big game. No matter when you're playing Columbus in Columbus, they're tough games. You know, they come out always pretty hard and you know, it's tight checking games. So, yeah, and my message was basically that, you know, we should, no matter what we are going through as a team, is, you know, we have to be thankful and appreciate what we have. Like, I remember at that time there was something going on. There was like some explosions or something, you know, something terrible that happened in the news. And I said, I was flipping through the channels yesterday and I saw that. And first of all, you feel for those people that I've lost loved ones, but also you think about how lucky we are to be in this position and to just go out there and appreciate and stop feeling sorry for ourselves and just to play the game that we love. And that's kind of something that I said and, you know, it felt, it felt good saying it, but also it's always like, you never know how guys are going to react and, you know, like how it came out, if it came out the way that you wanted it to and if the message was clear or not. So, but it was cool and kind of helped me, I guess, be more comfortable for the next time around, you know, like Rex kind of helped me that way that, and I guess after that, it was just easier and easier.
Berge, you've been with Z since he came here, captain, and maybe two parts here. Like, what has he meant, or I shouldn't say that. How has he evolved as a captain since he came here to this point right now? And is there any specific times that you remember during that 2010-2011 season that maybe he stood up and said something, or you guys really leaned on him for his leadership?
Yeah, I think right from that first year that he came in, I think he was always leading by example. You know, he's a terrific athlete, terrific player. He's respected. He's got that, you know, he's got that presence also with his, you know, his big body, and obviously with how mean he is on the ice as well. And, you know, you're seeing that coming from Ottawa, and you remember playing against him, and you're, so he's got that respect from the get-go, right? Like he's got that. And I think he's evolved, and he's learned a little bit like me. I think early on, maybe wasn't as vocal, didn't really always know when and when not to come in or to, and I was young also. I was an assistant captain, but I was learning my way as well. It was a young team. We weren't having the best of seasons, and it was not easy on him. I remember that for sure. But he's, you know, I think his leadership has grown so much, and he was able to, I guess, evolve and learn and wanting to learn. And I remember him reading a bunch of books about leadership and all that stuff. And, you know, I've always been amazed with his drive. You know, he always wants more, even though he's, you know, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and he's accomplished everything in his career. And so it's that way. He's a terrific leader. And I think in 2011, well, we've pretty much relied on him the whole year, you know, like I don't recall one moment where we didn't. I don't know what we would have done without him, to be honest with you. He had that, that calming effect in the back end, throughout. I remember, you know, we were talking about Montreal series down to 2-0, and Z was just him. He was just being Z, you know, being ready to play, that demeanor. I'm talking about Rex a lot, but Z was the same way, where that calming effect is really important from your older players. And Z has always had that, and, you know, he always speaks when it's time, because he doesn't overdo it. So when he does stand up and talk, and you know, he better listen. So it's been an honor to be with him for so long.
So Patrice, the year after Chara gets to Boston, Claude Julien comes on board and steps behind the bench. What do you remember about what he either said or did starting that year in 07-08 that laid the groundwork for what the team accomplished in 2011?
Yeah, I think Claude was about, you know, it was his team. You know, I think that was the biggest thing was, you know, he wanted to establish a culture in the locker room. He wanted to have guys buying in. I think that was the biggest thing for me was he gave everyone a role. He was fair to everyone, and everyone knew what was their agenda or what was their role on the team, you know, like whether it was Dan, Paye, Gregory Campbell, Sean Thornton, to Krejci, Horton, Lucic, you know, it didn't matter who they were. They were all important. They were all a big part of the team, just as big. And it was winning by committee. And that's what he was saying for us even the first year. You know, I think he established that culture right away. And he was trying to take away the bad habits from a lot of us, you know, from not having the best of the year before, and kind of having a different mindset at times. And I think he was trying to change all of that. And this, it takes time, you know? So I think it took a few years for us to really be where he wanted us to be. But it was a treat to be going through that with Claude and the rest of the guys.
So it culminates with the Vancouver series. And again, you guys are down 2-0. They were close games up in Vancouver. what, I mean, and they were testy games, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. With all the stuff that was going on. First of all, where did the hatred kind of come from against Vancouver? And then how did you guys turn things around when you came back home for game three?
I think it came right away just because you're fighting for the Stanley Cup, you know, you're fighting for the ultimate prize. And I think right away, you know, it was chippy and a bit dirty if you're being honest. But you know, it was, I don't know where it was coming from. I think it was just more that. I don't think, you know, there was animosity before that particular series. We've only seen them once or twice in the regular season. They were tight games, I remember, but nothing more. But right away, you know, from game one on, I was like, all right, it's going to be fun. So, yeah, coming back after being down by two, you know, in Vancouver, I think the morale was a lot better in Montreal because we've been through it. We knew that, and we were going home too, which was definitely a plus. But I thought that one time we handled it differently. I think we were ready. We were composed. We didn't need like to retreat ourselves to anywhere. I think the guys were just, you know what, let's pack our bags, let's go home and go win those two games at home and go from there. That's all we were really worried about is game three, and then worry about game four after. And obviously the way we won definitely gave us some life.
Berge, I have to go back because you were involved in a couple of moments early in that series that really affected the emotion and the tenor of the series. Take us back to game one. What led to the bite? What do you remember about it? How incensed were you after that happened?
It happened. I mean, there were so many scrums after whistles. It was absolutely insane. Almost after every whistles, there was, you know, there was a glove in your face when there was people pushing you around and try to, you know, arm lock you or whatnot. And which was fine. You know, it's playoff hockey and you know that most likely there won't be any penalties. But that particular play was, you know, we're pushing each other around and we're both grabbing our faces and helmets and sure enough, you know, my glove was there and he just, you know, he bit my finger. So there's not much to it. You know, it's just one of those moments where, you know, you're like, what's going on here? Like, and that was it. I mean, obviously it was on TV and got a little bigger than you wanted to. But I think in a way, you're right. Guys, you know, got mad at it and we're kind of, it gave us a little bit of extra juice if you really need that at that point to keep going and to try to beat these guys. But that being said, you know, it's, you know, I've spoken to Alex after, and you know, we've never really talked about it. It's always been like, you know, it's hockey. You know what I mean? Like, there's, to me, it's after it was done, it was already behind me. It's like one of those things where let's just keep playing and hopefully win. You know, we're battling for a Stanley Cup. We're not battling for anything else, and that's the way I've looked at it. And I have, you know, respect, a lot of respect for my opponents, obviously, and especially in the finals.
Berge, for you personally, winning the Stanley Cup, and you guys, certainly you and Marshy had your fingerprints all over that game seven, but to finally win it, you know, just in term, put it into perspective for, you know, we all as players, that's the goal, right? That's the ultimate goal. You think about it as a kid. I mean, just what did it mean to you to finally win it?
Oh, it was amazing. You know, a childhood dream. I think it's, you think about all the efforts that you've put in to get to that moment. And obviously what your parents and your family, you know, my siblings, my brother has done for me and the support and the love and all that put together. So it was special. It was special to share that with them. My girlfriend at the time, now my wife, was also there. And, you know, being able to celebrate with your your teammates is something that I'll never forget. You know, being able to do that with them in the locker room and yeah, you know, you put in so much work. That's the thing that I was thinking about is like that particular year, obviously, but also beyond that, like all the work that you put in to get to that moment, all the work that you put in collectively as a team to get to that moment that year where it's almost 2.5 months of absolute grind from the Montreal series to that point. It's, you think of all of that and you're like, oh my God, like it's an amazing feeling.
Berge, can you tell us about Kretsch a little bit? I mean, he's a pretty quiet guy. He's been here for a long time, but you know, he doesn't talk a lot, at least in public.
Yeah.
It was a big injury that he had, if I'm not mistaken, against the Flyers. I think it was that year. I think it was 2010, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. What has he meant? I mean, he leads the playoffs in scoring that year in 2011 playoffs. He'd led him again in 2013. He's been a longtime teammate of yours. You know, just can you give us some insight into David? Because he's so kind of – I mean, he's just so quiet, right, in public.
Yeah, no, I think you just said it. I think he's quiet in public. You know, he's one of those guys that he's got dry humor and sarcastic, and he's really funny. He's an amazing teammate. Obviously, I've been with him forever, and he's one of those guys that we have that friendship more than just he's more than just a teammate to me. You know, obviously we. Our families know each other, our kids and all that, and it's always going to be special. And Kretsch is, you know, there's a lot of those guys on the list, but Kretsch is definitely on there. Where, you know, he's always had that role where he just does his business. He plays amazing hockey, doesn't really get the recognitions that he deserves, and doesn't care. Still the greatest teammate. Still. The best team guy, always puts the team in front of his personal achievements. He's a terrific player. I don't have to say that very much, but he's a terrific guy. And you just learn and you definitely benefit from learning to know him and to have him as a teammate has been an absolute pleasure. Honestly, it's been a lot of fun.
Berge, both of your goals in that series against the Canucks came in Game 7, the first of which was ultimately the cup-clinching goal. As you remember it, can you remember the rush of emotional energy that went through you when that puck went in?
Yeah, it was you're right. The rush and the energy that I got from that was crazy. I had legs for days after that. It was, you know, it's one of those things where I've said that before, you know, when you're able to score, whether you score or your linemen score during a game, it usually gives you energy. It gives you a little bit of a boost and it gets you involved in the game. And you feel like you feel good for the next few shifts or the next, you know, hopefully for the reminder of the game. But when you, that goal honestly gave me lots of emotion, but also lots of energy. And I had to kind of pull myself back to stay composed because, you know, then you get carried away a little bit. It's easy to get carried away. I think I was really good at staying in the moment and being able to go back to my next shift and be dialed in and ready. But it definitely gave me a lot of energy and emotions. And I still remember that whole play, honestly.
Berge, I remember, so we'll go back to the Montreal series. You guys are down 2-0 going to Montreal. We don't travel with the team in the playoffs, so we're driving to Montreal, and I'm sitting with Brickley, and we're talking, and we're saying, should they make a change in goal? You know, should you pull Timmy here for game 3? And I remember just discussing it, going back and forth. And then the run that he went on throughout the playoffs was absolutely phenomenal. Have you ever seen that kind of run from a goaltender and just what he meant, I mean, as the MVP in 2011?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a tough one. I mean, I personally, I don't think I've witnessed it. You know, obviously Tuukka has been amazing in 2019. You know, that whole playoff run, Timmy was, you know, off the charts. He was the saves that he was making and the way that he was making them at times was, you scratch your head and be like, how did he save that? Like, and yeah, just, again, I talked about, you know, Z's, demeanor and his presence. And I think Timmy falls into that as well. You know, he's a character, but also he's when he comes to play, he's ready. And when you know he's in that zone, like, you just leave him alone. You leave him be, you let him be, and then you know where you're going to get. It's going to be special. And that whole series, that whole run, he was in that zone where nothing was bothering him. It seemed like everything slowed down for him, honestly. It was impressive to watch. And it was great to see him actually this year, because that was the first time we were able to connect when we saw him in Washington for the U.S. Hall of Fame. And it was just great to see him, because it was such a special team and a special moment for all of us in our lives and in our careers. That and it was nice that then we exchanged numbers and we texted a little bit. And it's just great to see him doing well. And like I said, it's, he carried us the whole playoff run, and we owe him a lot for that Stanley Cup.
Berge, my last question for you, and you sort of touched on this a little bit when the Bruins were in the first series, in the first round against Montreal. Could you feel the anticipation in the city, around New England, among Bruins fans, because the team hadn't won the Cup in 39 years?
I think I could feel like the disappointment from the year before, and we lost the first two games, and it kind of, the sense was like, you know, here we go again. You know, I could sense a little bit of that. And then when we got past Montreal, I could feel the excitement, but also the support of many people were stopping me, you know, and, you know, as I was walking in the streets downtown, and just being so nice and so supportive, and you could tell they were, first of all, they were watching the games, but also they were behind us, and it wasn't so much about, like, you know, it wasn't just after a win, you know, or people were still, even if we were losing a game, like, you could tell that that support was still there, and it meant a lot to all of us, and definitely gave us that that extra that we needed